Hi, you're listening to another sermon from Deep Creek Anglican Church.
Well, good morning. Welcome. Merry Christmas to you all. Merry Christmas. Thanks for those replies. It's really exciting for me. Usually on a Christmas morning, we gather as a small few, and there's a larger group of people. This is really encouraging. And what it reflects to me is that really, as a community, we're in a time of transition. In many ways, families sort of transition through different stages. We as a family are so thankful for Rod in his 12 years, and he's finishing out his 5 weeks, 6 weeks of serving here at Deep Creek. In many ways, we as individual families continue through life as transition. I think sometimes you think you've got things sorted and your pattern of life just works really well, and then all of a sudden a transition happens. We've got little Ellie, she's just joined us, 5 weeks old. I felt like Katie and I had hit a good rhythm about 6 weeks ago. 5 weeks ago we found out we had a new rhythm, and so we're a family in transition, figuring out how to be a family of five. I wonder, when you think about family at Christmas time, What does family look like to you? I just want you to maybe introduce yourself to someone next to you and describe what family looks like to you. Maybe you want to tell them what you're doing today as a family. So I found out something new about my family a few months ago. I was looking up my family tree, and most people would think, you know, you've got Scottish English, and I've always wondered where the blonde hair came from, and I always thought it must be Vikings, because I'd looked through my family history before and only seen Scottish and English. Scottish and English, there's one Irish person in there. There's a few convicts, maybe someone that stole some rabbits, I think. But everyone's got a little bit of that in their family history if they're Australian. But as I was looking through, there was this one Swedish person. That explains it. That's where the blonde hair in our family comes from. So we have two kids that are the blonde, and Ellie is, she's a little bit of brown. There's blonde forming there. Her eyebrows are a little bit blonde. So I think we'll have another blonde child there. Jesus's family was a family in transition. Joseph and Mary gathered together and they formed a new family unit. And they went at the time of census to where Jesus was born. They were a family in transition. We see that Jesus was born in a manger, and often when we see our nativities, we see this little stable, but it actually wasn't a stable. When he stayed, he probably most likely went and stayed with a family that was part of his wider family. You see, in the people of Israel, there was 12 tribes, and the different tribes knew each other, they knew which tribe they were a part of, and then within tribes, there was also the clans, and there was multiple families that would have formed part of these clans. And when your immediate family, as in your father's house, so your father who still lives and all the preceding generations couldn't put you in for the night, you went and found someone else that was part of your extended family. So when Jesus was born, he was likely born in a house that was connected through extended family to his family, his family of heritage. And as we look at his family of heritage, we see in the Gospels that it traces back to David. He was the one that was connected to royalty. That is, he is a royal king, the Messiah that has come to bring about what we read is a new family. That just the right time, Jesus was born of a woman, that is Mary, and his purpose was to reconcile the whole world to his Father in heaven, that everyone will become sons and daughters of God, part of God's family. God's intention was that we would have a new family in Jesus. And so what we see in Jewish family when a new family is formed is the bride leaves her birth family and then cleaves to her husband's family. And what happens is they go off, they find their patch of land, and it's usually the patch of land that's connected to his family, because that's that inheritance that's passed down, and they kind of wave goodbye to her family and never see them again. Who has a lot of Christmas functions? We have a lot of Christmas functions. So we last weekend had two. This weekend we just passed, had another two. And then yesterday one, today one, and tomorrow one. We have a lot of functions. We kind of try and draw together this broad sort of family. But the way it worked in Israel is they would actually draw under the father's house. So if you married into a man's life, you became part of his father's house. And eventually when his father passed on, that man would eventually have a house of his own. And because they married and had kids so young, I mean, Mary was a teenager when she had Jesus, there would have been generation upon generation upon generation in that household. And that formed your family. Now, the Bible talks about family, and it talks about how we're invited into a family. But when we hear it talk about family, it presents this really radical view that looks different from our family. Jesus talks about the call of who his mothers and brothers are. His mother and brothers are those who do the will of God, who live out the will of God. That's what it looks like to be part of Jesus' family. Then he also says, whoever does not leave mother or brother or father and follow me cannot be part of my family. So what is this? Jesus is forming a new family. What does it look like? It looks like this. It's this transition. As you come to know Jesus, you find yourself in a new family, but you also leave an old family behind. I've often wrestled with that idea that Jesus challenges people, whoever does not leave father and mother and brother and follow me, find their new family in me, does not have a part of me. And as I've wrestled with it, what I've come to understand is that it's this idea of leaving and cleaving. Jesus, in giving us a new family, wants to give us a new set of tradition, a new thing to belong to, a new thing to be part of. He wants us to understand that the patterns of his family, because when you're part of Jesus' family, you look like you're part of Jesus' family. You live out love the way that he lives out love. You bring on the traditions that mean that you are part of that identity. That identity is part of you. And so I wanted to ask us this question this morning. Where is Jesus in your family? Where does Jesus fit in your family? See, Jesus is our brother. We have our Father in heaven. And so how is he integral to how we do life together? Where is Jesus in your family? Where does Jesus fit in family? As a church, we gather here and we call each other one family in Christ. We refer to each other as our one family. And we recognize here as a family that Jesus is the head of our family. That he's the one that we gather around. Christmas can be a difficult time. For many family, a distant family, a disconnected family is broken. When we recognize Jesus as the head of our family, then we can gather together as one family in unity. And in this passage, we read this picture of a prayer that Jesus prays for his people as they would gather for his family. If you've got a Bible, I'd love you to open up. We're on page 1679 in John 17. 1680. And Jesus prays, I don't pray for them alone, I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. That's us. We have believed in him through his message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. Jesus has this picture that those who believe in him would see this place of oneness where they're connected, where we represent what true family looks like. May they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. And so there's this picture that Jesus is of family where it's perfectly interconnected. Each person in the family, the Father, the Son and the Holy Spirit, have their individual identity, yet they're perfectly connected in love. Whose family here is perfectly connected in love? No, I know at Christmas that my family is not perfect, and I go along to Christmas functions, and some, you know, functions you don't really want to be at, and Sometimes I look at the way that Jesus did it and, well, life might be easier if you only had one family that you had to get along with. But the truth is that we all do have one family that we're learning to love. And this is the family that is the church. So where does Jesus fit in our family? Well, it's actually the other way around. We fit into his family. So how do we fit into his family? Where do we find our place? You see, here is a church. We see that each person has gifts that God has given them to take part. We're blessed by our musicians willing to get up on a Christmas morning and practice so that we can sing carols together. We're blessed that we can gather here by all our support team that makes a Sunday morning happen. That's just part of it. We're blessed that we have each other with different gifts and different talents, different personalities God wired so that we may be a great encouragement to each other. I mean, I love our church, but our church will be nothing without the people that are a part of it. And if you're part of Jesus' family, you're part of his church. So you need to be part of the family that gathers. And so I'm so glad that you're here this Christmas morning to be part of a family that gathers to celebrate whose family that we're a part of. We gather to celebrate how Jesus came into the world. He came with vulnerability. And so this is the nature of the family that we're called to be part of, a nature that is vulnerable, where we embrace each other in the midst of the brokenness of life. Now, sometimes people look at church and go, oh, I don't really like church. I've been burnt by Christians. I don't really like Christians. I like Jesus. But actually, Jesus calls us to love his family. And when we don't act in a way that looks like the family, when we don't live out Jesus's command of love, well, we're not being part of the family. And so when someone does that towards you, doesn't live out his command of love, they're not acting like the family. They're not representing the family. But we are called to represent the family in love. So why would we want another family? Why would we want to be part of this family? Well, God loves family. He wants to bless us through family. He wants us to find that revelation of who Jesus is through family. His glory is revealed to us through the Spirit, as we are gathered together in a family. Jesus prays, "Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I've made you known to them, and I will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them, and that I myself may be in them." Jesus' purpose in coming into the world is that the love of Jesus will break into the world and break out through his people into the world, that the whole world may know of the love of God. So why would we want to be in the family of God? That it's through the family of God that we get to know the love of God. Why else would we want to be part of the family of God? Well, in earthly families, there's lots of pressures. There's lots of things to live up to. Parents have these pressures as to who their children will be. As much as we hope not to put them there, children feel the pressure of who they are being called up to be. We feel this pressure of family members putting on the right meal for today. I'm sure some of you are probably feeling the pressure that you need to get home so Randall should stop talking so that you can get lunch finished and get your house prepared. There's pressure that we feel in family. But the kind of family that we're invited to in Jesus is a family that we enter through faith by grace. It's not a family that we earn our position in through work. Indeed, we are all invited into this family. All are equal. There's neither male nor female, nor slave, nor anyone is greater. All find their position in their family through the grace of what Jesus has done, what we celebrate at communion. And we recognize that for those that are in the family, there's this inheritance of blessing that flows. You see, we're connected not just into the family of Jesus, but the family of Jesus that is linked to the promises that have been there all through history in God's family. And so the promise that God would establish us as a people in this world, land, it's a promise that's extended to us, that he would establish us as a people that prosper for him in this world, is a promise that comes through Jesus, that he would pour blessing upon blessing onto us is a promise that we have through Jesus. There is such a rich inheritance that we have as we gather as family members of Jesus. And so this morning as we gather, let's consider, where do we fit in Jesus' family? How are we being part of his family? How do we want to see even our earthly family sit under the wider family that we're called to be a part of? And so, Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you and we celebrate you. We celebrate your love come into the world to birth love in us. We recognize that family is many times difficult. For many, Christmas will be a difficult time as we remember family lost. For many, Christmas will be a difficult time as we remember the brokenness of family. But we thank you that you invite us into a new family, that in this family that you knit us together in love, that you fill us with love, that you gift us with peace. And so, Lord, we pray that your peace and love and hope and joy would reign in each of our hearts in this season. And we pray this in your mighty name, Jesus. Amen.